While you're turning, I'd like to say that next Sunday night, next Lord's Day being Father's Day, next Sunday night, I am bringing a message that the Lord has laid on my heart that I would wish that all, both young and older, might be able to hear. I'm going to speak on three prodigal sons and their fathers. And I believe that these bring before us some very basic Bible teaching that we need to understand the present time. Three prodigal sons and their fathers. Next Sunday night in the will of the Lord at 7:30. Now, we generally start a message at the beginning of a portion. I'm going to ask you to read the last verse, please, of Psalm 144. And then, as time permits, I want to work my way backward or upward through the psalm to the opening verse. But you'll notice that the last verse of Psalm 144, verse 15, says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." I've been thinking a lot about the message this morning on this, our 11th anniversary here at the chapel. And I've been praying a lot about it. And various things have come into my mind that I would like to have been able to say. But I could not get away from this 144th Psalm and a message I believe it has for us. You notice it's talking right at the end here as the psalmist brings his whole psalm to an end and, as it were, ties it all together. He's talking about happiness. Now, there isn't very much happiness in the world. Maybe a lot of laughter and a lot of cackling and all that, but there isn't very much real, genuine happiness. But there's some. And some people are happy people. And the only people who really have a right to be happy are those who are described in this verse. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. It's knowing the Lord, knowing Him in a personal way, being sure that He is your God, He is your Lord. That is the basis for all true happiness. Whatever other happiness there may be derived from other sources is going to be marred sometime or another. But those who have the Lord as their God, they are going to have a happiness that can outride all of the waves and storms of trouble and distress and bereavement and loss that may come to them in life. So I want us to look at this people. The psalmist says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case." That is, in such a condition. What condition? Well, I think we'll just begin our reading at verse 12. Verse 11 might be better. "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a hand of falsehood." Now, in the next verses that I'm reading, will you notice the little word "our," and you immediately realize that what is being said about a company. And I want to apply it this morning to this local assembly here, this local church. And if what we have in these verses right here, then we will have a happy assembly. A genuinely happy assembly. All right. Verse 12. "That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Now here are characteristics of a happy local church, such as this one here. And the first thing you'll notice, because we must look at each spot very briefly, the first thing that David longs for here is concerning the sons, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. How much depends in a local church on the young men of that church? Now, there are two extremes today, I have noted. There are some places that have made the mistake, and it is a mistake, of practically turning everything over to the young man. Now that's a mistake. Young men have a very, very important place to fill, but they have not yet become experienced enough to be leaders in any church. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Not a novice, lest he fall into condemnation of the devil. The other extreme is for the young man to be almost totally disregarded. Now that is wrong. That's a mistake. And it's in between those two that our young men should be in a local church and in this assembly. In due time, if they go on for God, if they learn the Word of God and the ways of God, they will become the leaders. And we have been greatly blessed in this local church, the growth of which I've been watching now for 34 years. And as God has been pleased to take home some of our older leaders, and some of them have been home in the glory now for quite a number of years. Others, because of advancing years, have certainly been unable to shoulder the responsibility that they once had. But we have been greatly blessed in that God has raised up another generation of men, younger men, aggressive men, godly men, men who have given themselves to study the Word of God and to the things of God, and who are just as fully convinced of the principles on which this assembly is based as the original leaders were. Now that's a blessing. And we want to see that continuing. And so we thank God for each generation of young men that God gives us to apply themselves and go on for God. David says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That is, they're reaching maturity before they get old. There are many things, I speak from experience, you cannot do when you're older. I listened to some of the tapes that I made 20 years ago. I wish I had a little bit of the vigor and a little bit of fire I had on the platform then. But I just don't have it. That's all there's to it. I just have to do my best of what's left. But David longs for these young men to grow up in their youth. And so I say to you, dear young men, you who know Christ as your Savior, apply yourself to the things of God. Study your Bibles. Pray. Work. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty for the Lord. And God will bless you. And you'll be a blessing in this assembly. But the daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Because we do not believe in women preachers, for one simple reason, that the Bible tells them to be silent, and a preacher that's silent isn't much of a preacher. Because we don't believe in women preachers, because we don't believe in women leaders, because the Bible says that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. Now, that's all it says. We didn't write that. We here at Chan Hill Chapel simply obey the Bible. We don't write it, and we don't change it. Because we do not believe in women preachers or leaders, the biggest mistake you could make would be to imagine we don't appreciate Christian women, young and old. We do. This assembly would not be what it is, and it will never be what it can be, unless the sisters are what they should be. And God not only blessed us from the very beginning of this assembly with some godly men, but with equally godly sisters. Some of them are home in the glory now. Some cannot do what they once did. But we have had from the beginning of this assembly, we have had Christian women who have devoted themselves to the things of God in their place. You may wonder that the daughters here are spoken of as cornerstones. Well, now there's one thing a cornerstone has to do. It has to stay in its place. And there's one thing a Christian woman should learn to do, is stay in her place. And when she stays in her place, she can be a tremendous blessing. Have a wonderful influence. If she gets out of her place, in the church, in the home, or anywhere else, she can be just as useless as a cornerstone pulled out of the building. But in its place, a cornerstone is necessary. It binds the walls together. And what a binding effect godly Christian women can have in a local church. They can have a terribly disruptive nature if they're not where they should be. If they're getting out of their place and yakking away and all of that, they can tear up any church, no matter what it is, if they stay in their place and use their tongues for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you this, brothers and sisters. When you and I see the assembly, the history of this assembly reviewed, the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a lot of reward given to some sisters who pray. We have had some women of prayer in this assembly, and God has heard those prayers and answered them, and God will reward in the coming day. But you notice the cornerstones are polished. I speak to men's meetings now and then when they ask me. There's one thing I always miss in a men's meeting, a little bit of beauty. You know, it helps tremendously when you're preaching if there's a little bit of beauty out in front there. But I think we're thinking here about spiritual beauty. Now, natural beauty is good. I'd rather look at a beautiful scene than a pasture field any day. But spiritual beauty is what counts. I've seen some beautiful women. Brother, I wouldn't want to live with them for 5 months. No, thank you. Not at all. I've seen some very plain, ordinary-looking Christian women. And it was a joy to be with them. It was a benediction to be in their presence. They knew the Lord. They had been polished by fellowship with the Lord. Oh, may I say to you, dear sisters in Christ, young and old, you have a tremendous place to play in this assembly. Maybe the Lord's polishing. Maybe you're passing through testing, trial, heartbreak, things that are awfully hard for a mother's heart to bear. Remember, the Lord is polishing. And you know, the more highly polished the stone becomes, the better it reflects. That's why the Lord polishes it. That you might reflect Him. And thank God for every polished sister in this assembly, young or old, that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe so much to you, and we thank God for you. But you notice there's something else. Not only our sons and our daughters, but our garners. Yes? A local church such as this should be one where there is abundance of spiritual food. And you'll notice it says, affording all manner of store. Now, our young folks need a certain type of ministry. Young converts need a certain type. Those who have been on the way need a certain type. Those who are going through the valley of sorrow need a ministry of comfort. So that there is all manner of store needs to be in what we might call the granary of the assembly. And the elders of this assembly seek with real care and prayer to see to it that there is a diversity of ministry that will meet the need of all. We should expect, we have a right to expect to be fed when we come to the gathering together of the saints. And we will be from the Word of God. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands. Fruitfulness. Yes? We ought to be an assembly that is multiplying through the winning of souls to Christ. Let us never, never lose our fervor in the gospel, brethren. Let us never lose our interest in lost souls that are going to hell. But may there be a fruitfulness on the part of all of us that will result in others being born into the family and flock of God. That our oxen may be strong to labor. Yes? And when you think of an ox, you think of service. And that's the way it's continually brought before us in the Scripture. So that we need servants. We need those who are ready to work. Christianity isn't a kid glove thing. Christianity isn't a thing where you sit down and let somebody else do it. True Christianity is a thing where you take your coat off and get to work and do what needs to be done. But that isn't my line. We'll make it your line. Somebody will show you how to go down the line. And we need oxen that are strong to labor, that are willing to work and carry the burden. You think of an ox in connection with sacrifice. And serving the Lord in any capacity whatsoever is going to cause sooner or later, and likely sooner than later, for sacrifice. It's going to cost you something, but it's the best paying service in the Lord. Whatever it may be, cutting the grass, excuse me, working around the building, it's all service to the Lord. I couldn't help but notice as I came in today and I remarked about it. What a lovely job has been done on our grounds here. The grass, the shrubbery, the bed, everything is lovely, just the way it should be because it belongs to the Lord. Now, whoever's responsible for that and does it will be rewarded just as much, maybe more, than I who am standing here this morning talking to you about it. So let us have oxen that are strong to labor, that there be no breaking in. Now, an assembly, a church, of a local church of Christians, is something that needs to be guarded. I don't believe in a little exclusive gathering that you have to go through the eye of a needle to get into. I don't believe in that. But I don't believe in this idea that you throw everything open and you let anybody and everybody come into church fellowship. That's not in the Scriptures. A church is to be composed of born-again believers. Now, when it comes to public meetings such as this, anybody and everybody is welcome. When it comes to church fellowship, and we have a fellowship here and not a membership, but we are members of the body of Christ, but we have a fellowship. And that fellowship has to be kept clean. There have been mistakes made, undoubtedly. But there has to be, and there is being, on the part of the elders of this assembly, a sincere effort to see to it that those who are received into fellowship here are born-again Christians who are clean in life and sound in doctrine. Excuse me. There are all kinds of doctrines abroad today. And these should not be allowed to break in to the assembly of God's people. All kinds of teachings abroad. But not only that, it says, that there be no going out. That is, leaving, departure. It's tragic when those who profess to have accepted the principles of the New Testament, when they give up those principles for anything, for an advancement at work, for a marriage, for anything else. God taught me over 50 years ago the principles of this New Testament for the gathering together of the Lord's people. By the help of God, I want to die believing and practicing and preaching those same principles. I believe them absolutely, else I would not have given my life for them. So there should be no going out in that sense. I see people who have professed to believe certain principles, and they seem to be able to give it up in just a minute for anything. I don't believe they ever understood it. Or really believe it. Let there be no complaining in our streets. You notice that's the last thing. Just before he gets to happiness. Because there's nothing can so upset happiness as complaints. Some people grumble if it's the sunshine, too hot. Grumble if it's raining, it's too wet. Too cold. Too this, too that. Well, that's bad. That's a good way to live a miserable life. But when that gets in amongst the Christians, that's a bad. David said, now when I walk around my city, Jerusalem, I don't want to hear complainers on every hand. There be no complainers in our streets. Now, to lodge a legitimate objection is one thing, but to be complaining, forever complaining, about what the Christians did or what the Christians didn't do, that is a good way to disrupt a happy company of the Lord's people. There's only one person you ought to complain to, and that's to the Lord. And maybe by the time you get through complaining to him, he'll be complaining to you about you, and you'll wish you hadn't said a thing. There'll be no complaining. Brethren, we're never going to reach perfection. Never. Took me a long time to learn it, but I finally learned I'm not perfect. And neither are you. And so if I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, why should we expect our brethren and sisters to be perfect? I don't always do the right thing. Why should I always expect other people then to do the right thing? There'd be no complaining in our streets. What do you say? How could you have a church like that? How could you have an assembly like that? By going from the hour to me. You see? An assembly is just what the individual Christian is. Now go back to the beginning of the psalm in closing. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and deliverer, my shield, he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. That's it. If me, just to take this out of the verse, that is saying, I just impress it on, if me is what he should be, our will be what they should be. And you can't have our right if me isn't right. And the company is going to be just what the individual is. But here is David, and he begins this psalm that ends with happiness. He begins it by his personal confidence in God. And he's able to tell us what God means to him. Now that's where you begin, friend. I suppose most of us always believed that Christ was the Savior. I always did. I never believed there was any other Savior in the whole universe. Not in all my life. But that didn't save me. I had to make him mine. And when I made him my Savior, then I was saved and brought into the family of God. Now, from the moment we accept Christ as our personal Savior and we make him mine in that sense, then we must personally make him what we need him to be, because that's what he is. And so he enumerates it all here. Is he weak? Then the Lord's his strength. Is he in the battle? Then the Lord will teach him how to conduct himself in that battle. Is he a failure? Then the Lord's his goodness. Is he in danger? The Lord's his fortress. And so, what you see, he finds everything he needs for himself in the Lord. Now you get 100 people who have found in Christ the answer to their personal need. Put those 100 people together. What have you got? You've got a church of 100 who are what they should be. You see, but it begins with the individual. And so God wants every one of us to turn from ourselves. Listen to what it says in verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Vanity. Emptiness. nothing. And when we learn that we in ourselves are nothing, what do? We do as David did. We turn to a God who is everything. Now, when you have people who have learned that in themselves they are nothing, have found in God everything they need, bring them together, and you've got your happy local church at the end of this song. It's any wonder then, having penned by inspiration these lovely words, that David bursts out right at the close, "Happy is that people that's in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord." I hope you can say this morning, "He's my Savior." Not just our Savior, but He's my Savior. I've trusted Him. I know Him. And my friend, once you've done that, get to know Him better. Through these years, I have met some people. I was rather impressed with them at first. And then I was terribly disappointed. I've met some other people. I wasn't too much impressed with them. But as I got to know them better, they rose higher and higher in my esteem. My respect for them increased the better I got to know them. Now, my Lord is the only one I've ever found was absolutely perfect. I've never turned to Him in a moment of need, a moment of despair. I've never turned to Him but what I found Him, just what I need. And so I commend Him to one and all of you. And as we move past this another anniversary day here at this chapel, because the assembly is much, much older than that, but as we pass another milestone and move into our 12th year here on this location, may every one of us be conscious of the fact that our God is everything we need. And relying on Him and walking in fellowship with Him, we will be a happy people. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank Thee that the heart of each one present is known to Thee. Just what that heart needs is bare before Thine omniscient eye. And so we pray that Thou wilt grant Thy blessing upon one and all, take Thy word and something from it, and fasten it in every heart, we pray. We ask Thy special blessing upon our young graduates. We thank Thee, Father, for this milestone that they are passing at this time, and we ask Thy blessing on them and Thy guidance upon them. Guide them very definitely, Lord, in their personal life, in their business life, in every decision that they will have to make as they move on into manhood and womanhood. Grant Thy guidance and blessing upon them and upon all of us as we separate, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.